Do you want to build a site, man? I hope the users stay. Don't use marquee tags anymore. Keep scripts in local stores so they don't go away. When we do some user studies to see what we've got, tool options are to the sky. Do you want to build a site, man? It doesn't have to be a site, man.
Go away, you know.
Okay, bye. Welcome to Tools Day, a 20-minute podcast at Tech Tools Tips and Tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about our top 10 tech tools.
Pretty exciting.
So we're doing something a little bit different today because it is episode number 20.
The big 20.
And so this week what we decided to do is talk about our 5 favorite tech tools each. And time it 2 minutes. We get 2 minutes. We have a timer. We have this awesome little, you'll hear the buzzer, I'm sure, sound.
It sounds horrifying.
We realize that we talk way too much. Like, we end up talking for way longer than 20 minutes all the time.
I don't think we've ever maintained any
minutes.
Of our slogans.
Well,
we do maintain Tuesday.
Most of them are like 25 minutes. This one will probably be that long,
20-ish,
too.
20-ish.
It's fine. It's 20-ish.
Tuesday-ish.
What? You know, we just got so much to talk about. It's fine. So, Chris is going to go first. I'm going to set the timer. And we're going to hear about his favorite tech tools. Also, we're going to have a little announcement at the end of the show. So, stay tuned for that. But in a count of 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, my number one favorite tool as of right now is Webpack, and specifically hot module replacements. We did do a quick talk on Webpack and Browserify way back in episode 2 or 3. But for those of you who don't know, it is a module bundler by default. So it takes your many different JavaScript files and lets you bundle them up with a dependency tree. In addition to that, it lets you process other files like CSS files, image files, HTML files, blah, 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 and do a variety of different things to it. It's kind of an all-in-one replacement to things like Gulp, Grunt, other build tools. I love it. Great. But the hot module replacement specifically is a thing that is tied into Webpack's dev server or the Webpack's middleware. And what it does is that it lets you update your JavaScript, and it will update the page without doing a full reload, just like Browser Sync does for CSS, but for JavaScript.
So what is the benefit of using Webpack over something like Browser Sync within Gulp?
A couple things. The first one, again, is that hot module replacement. That's not available right now in Browser Sync or in any other tool that's not Webpack. I'm sure that there's some other bundler tools that have absorbed Webpack's HMR's tooling, but it was brand new from Webpack. And it's like that thing, you know, when you first had Browser Sync with your CSS and you updated your SAS and bam, it was on your page without a refresh, the exact same feeling of like magic and immediacy, but with JavaScript now. And this becomes a big deal when you have complicated JavaScript apps that take a long time to build, you know, reload. When it's just super quick and you can see your changes, it's wonderful. And that's my super summation of Webpack, HMR, why it's great. I'm gonna do it on time.
Literally, that was insane. Wow. All right, 2 minutes on Webpack with Chris. Sweet. Now it's my turn to talk about my first of my top 5 favorite tech tools.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so I want to bring up webpagetest.org. And also webpagetest allows for CLI integration. There's a lot that you can do there with an API and have it work for your personal build. I use it all the time for testing sites. The website, the .org, usually just works if you have something public to test, but you can also use a tunnel like ngrok to create something locally and test that in your local build environment. It creates timelines, it creates comparison videos. My favorite feature of webpagetest is the ability to do a timeline video. So as you can see where your scripts are loading, like how different items are loading in, and see how long it takes for those things to be visible. So if it takes like 2 seconds for the visibility of your page to load, but then maybe like 6 seconds for the scripts to load that are interactive, not visual scripts, you can see where that point is, and that's probably a good thing. So So that's great. It's also really nice for seeing your timeline, like when things are coming in, it gives you grades, like it sort of gamifies making things really performance. There's film strip view as well as a video view. It kind of brings up items that you can do better in. There's details, lots of different things for you to do. You can compare domains, so you can compare how different things load in relation to each other. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot here.
And it grades from the A to F scale?
It does, A to F. So I'm doing decently well, except for caching static content.
Oh, no.
On my personal blog. I just pulled it up to see how it goes. Oh, and you can also change like the service provider that you are testing on and right. the speed of your internet service.
Ooh, right. And you can also change the geographic area, right?
Yes. So lots of options there.
The web is now a global place. You should care about that too.
Yes.
I think what you said, that my favorite part of web page tests is that page strip. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was having your time anyways.
All right, made it in 2 minutes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so web page tests. It's a cool thing. All right, time to reset.
Okay.
Now Chris's second. These are not in any particular order. We just picked, we picked five that we like.
Okay.
All right, ready, set, go.
All right, my next favorite tech tool is ESLint and TurnJS. And these are two things that will help you write better JavaScript. So ESLint is a linter, like JSLint, SASLint, all these things which check styles, except it also checks errors. So if you forget a semicolon, if you forget to define a function somewhere, if you make all these JavaScript errors, ESLint finds them. It also finds things like, hey, I want two spaces, I want instead of tabs, I want a space after every curly brace. And so it's a great way of maintaining common code styles as well as correct JavaScript across the entire code base. And the second part of this is TurnJS, and TurnJS is a JavaScript autocompleter. So what it is that if you type, ever type in for each or any other JavaScript method, it will autocomplete that. It will also search for your entire library of your project and kind of index it. And so if you have different methods that are exposed on different objects, it will let you quickly autocomplete them in your editor. Both these things let you develop quickly and fast. One more thing with ESLint is that most of us, at least not most of us, is I personally, and by extent, a lot of the Bluemixers, use the Airbnb style guide. And so what's a great thing about ESLint is that you can extend other people's configurations really easily. Just type in npm install, save ESLint, and then Airbnb ESLint. And then Airbnb has dictated this collection of style guides, and it's just so accurate to what I like 99% of the time. I have maybe two overrides for Airbnb's style guide, but besides for that, we just use it, and it makes our code look wonderful and very, very pretty.
Nice. With 5 seconds to spare.
Nice.
And the timer doesn't have to go off. All right, so kind of picking up what you're putting down here.
Okay,
tell me
three,
where I can go.
2, 1, go.
Woo! Next, I'm going to talk about Sublime Text, which is my dev environment. Like, that's where I code all day long, pretty much. So you mentioned linters. Like, I have Sublime Linter on there. I have so many plugins. TurnJS, instead of that, I have like completions for various languages. So yes, that's sort of like an individual thing that I install individually. But what I really like about Sublime is your ability to really easily make snippets, so customizable snippets. As an example, as you want to work with SVG sort of color maps and filter effects, and I just made a bunch of snippets for me to like write like SVG FEM and just tab it, and it builds out the snippet, puts the cursor where I want it to when I write the code, and it's really nice for that. So you can create layouts. Speaking of which, like Emmet is a great plugin. Emmet is an excellent plugin for writing out like very shorthand CSS and HTML and just tabbing through and like building out layouts. I might be cheating here because I'm talking about my plugins within my Sublime
Text
tool.
That's fine. That's fair.
You can like do syntax highlighters. I have a semicolon, like automatic semicolon adder for JavaScript, and also tells me when I have extra white spaces. Like, highlights them in bright red, and it's like, yo, stop.
Stop.
It's called trailing spaces. There's auto file name, which sort of looks through my file system and it auto completes for like links, like images. I just write like, if I do image tab, it'll do emit, so it extends that image tag, and then it automatically puts my cursor inside the source. So then if I just type like I, I'll automatically see a list of all my folders with I. So like I just tap through like image slash whatever slash whatever. So it's super quick to like view my entire file base just through these different plugins and tabbing things in and out. So yeah, the file management plugin is great. I can add files from the sidebar. I can edit them there. There's this color picker plugin that I use all the time. Oh gosh, I've seen my countdown go. Anyway, Sublime Text and all the plugins, they're great.
It's gone.
Oh,
stop.
There's a lot to talk about on that one. All right, ready for Chris's third top five tech tool? Set, go.
All right, so I'm gonna continue off with your Sublime to my Atom. Now, if you had asked me this about 2.5 weeks ago, I would have said Visual Studio Code instead. I have this issue where I rotate...
I think we talked about the show.
We did.
Yeah.
I rotate editors every 4 weeks or so.
I'm very opinionated about them.
ADD. I push them really strongly when I use them, and I'm like, abandon ship.
LOL.
All right, anyway, so right now I'm on Atom. And the reason why I swapped back to Atom from VS Code was because... This kind of ties into my last tool, is that Atom's linting UI is so nice. Where every other linting UI kind of requires you to do an extra step to see what the error is, Atom makes it front and center, this is what the issue is, and if I'm trying to correct a bunch of errors in a file, it's so easy to kind of step through everything and fix all my issues. And it's funny because VS Code is so fast, so nice, but this one small UI issue, it's kind of dropping me back to Atom. And it's such a time saver for me. Beyond that, I love how Atom looks. I'm a big fan of Atom's customizability. Sublime has...
You can have some themes.
I know. You can do this with Sublime too, but I feel like a lot of the theme people have kind of migrated over to Atom.
It's probably easier to develop for.
And so I use this theme called Material Design. I was on Study before, but I swapped Material. And
I use that on Sublime.
Yeah, and then I use the syntax for Ocean Blue or Ocean Next something syntax. It's like an ES6 compatible highlighter, so I have all these nice highlighting on my JavaScript. You might notice that most of my comments are about JavaScript because that's...
Yeah, I mean, I could just say, yo, I have a ES6 highlighter plugin.
Well, I see. So it's more the syntax highlighting more than anything else. And beyond that, with Atom, I carry a pretty light editor. I don't put it many.
I'll give you like another 10 seconds because
no,
I interrupted you.
It's fine. Let's move on.
All right, so I'm a Sublime girl. He's an Atom boy.
It's
cool. This is why we do the show.
All right. Three, two, one, go.
So my next top five tool is sort of two that I use in combination, and those are Harp.js and then Surge.sh for hosting. So Harp.js is sort of an alternative to Jekyll for me, where I'm tired of writing Ruby. I don't like it, and the new Jekyll version has just given me so many headaches that I'm kind of over it. But Harp, rest in peace. Harp is node-based. It's probably what I'm using to do my future static websites. It's really nice. There's a data.json file, so we use it for the Tools Day website, where I just, every time we add a show, we add the contents and like links on a markdown page. Those are our show notes.
Right.
And just write in all the information on this JSON file. So it's really easy to search and parse and organize. I really like that about it. Also, it's just really light and fast and easy to use. Preprocessors are built in. I don't really use like a lot of the built-in stuff. I like to configure it myself and use Gulp for all that stuff. But it's really nice. And then along with that is Surge.sh for static hosting of websites. And these two projects are like pretty intertwined. It's a really nice way to just deploy to a server with like no issues. I don't know how they're making money or doing this, but...
Is it an open source project? Wait, Surge's not. Okay.
No, Surge isn't.
Weird.
But I think Harp is.
Great, though.
And it's so nice. It's like, I appreciate it. Oh, they do have pricing. Okay, so maybe I should start paying them. Surge Plus. I don't really need custom, all that stuff. Anyway, it's a great way to just build static sites based on a node environment and push them directly. Since I'm not using Ruby anymore for anything else, like I don't really use Jekyll that much. I do my previous projects, so legacy things. I wouldn't even call legacy. My blog's in Jekyll.
Right.
Yeah. But anything moving forward, I'm probably using Harp and hosting on Surge if I need a quick throw up of a site.
Wow, perfect. And you have 2 seconds left.
Well,
nice timing.
Holla. Got it in.
Sorry. Right.
And we'll put all these links in the show notes because I know that these aren't as popular or known about as other static site generators, etc. And hosting.
Surgeon.
All right, number four. Ooh, we're almost there. Ready, set, go.
Okay, my fourth one is a combination of iTerm and a plugin for it, or a add-on for it, or like a shell script for it, called Z. So iTerm is a terminal replacement. You know, the modern terminal on OS X now actually does a lot of the things that iTerm 2 was built for. You now have colors, and you have all these fancy things in iTerm, or in terminal. But iTerm makes it easier to modify, and crucially for me, it gives you the ability to use panes. And so for me, because Linux is a microservice-based architecture, I have, at any given moment, 5 microservices running at one time. And what I do is that I have these 5 panes open in this one window, I can see what's going on all 5, and then if I need to tunnel into one, I press Apple Enter, and it blows up the in and on. And it's so nice.
That's nice.
It's so convenient. And basically, pane management is why I use iTerm versus just old terminal. And then Z is this shell script that lets you CD around your file system really fast within iTerm or terminal. What it does is that it builds out a cache of wherever you go, and then it maps the last bit of it to the Z alias. So you type in Z and then the folder you want to go to. Say I have a folder called, you know, /Chris Downaround/project/Bloomix/home/gulp. That's a terrible example. But if Z knows that I go to that gulp folder all the time, if I type in Z gulp, it'll go straight there and I won't have to type in everything else.
So it kind of makes assumptions and learns as you use it.
Pretty much. It's
interesting.
Like a shortcut way of running around your file system, and I use it every day. Honestly, I use it more than almost any other tool because I'm in the terminal, you know, a good 20% of my time, and yeah, it makes life great.
Ooh, whoa, just in time. We're getting good at this. All right, let's do my number four.
All right, and here we go.
Yeah, so my number four kind of piggybacks off of that terminal situation, because I mean, we live in a terminal. How you can't go say that any other way. So I use iTerm 2 as well, but I wrote as my top tech tool is writing custom terminal aliases, because these have helped out so much. So one of those things that you kind of like mentioned about that gulp thing, I write absolute links to my dev folder and like my blog writing folder and such. So no matter where I am in my terminal, I just write dev or writing and it takes me there and I'm recentered. So that's just one thing that I do. I have a couple of little aliases that I really like and use. There's one called Start Project, which is like bundle installs, bower installs, npm installs, just like pretty much everything.
Right.
I have Serve Me, which is setting up my Python symbol HTTP server. So it's like Serve Me 5000 instead of writing that. I have an alias S for saying things out loud, so I write Hello World, and it's like this is my South African voice. It's like, hello world. Her name's Vicky. She's great. I love Vicky. I have one called Kill Port, which kills all the processes running on like a specified port, which sometimes happens if things don't really close properly. So I'm just like, why is this like port taken? Grr. So I just use Kill Port, like whatever. And then I have emojis, which opens up the emojicheatsheet.com, so I can write those in my pull requests and comments. And I have Shruggy, which I got from Alex Sexton, and it's a terminal alias that you type in Shruggy or whatever you want. I write Shruggy, and it gives you that like Shruggy face, like all the characters.
Wonderful.
Copies to your clipboard, so you just type Shruggy, it's already copied, you paste it in. I use that one all the time. Thank you, Alex. It's great. How much do
you
have time?
You have 5 seconds left.
Oh god. Okay, and then I use it for other custom things like writing my personal goals and checking things off my list and stuff.
Sorry. Boot it out. No.
Okay.
I think we've all heard you know, use the say alias in office a ridiculous amount of times. So you're in here right now. Hello, Vicky.
Oh, my volume's down.
No.
Hold on.
Hello.
Oh, there she is.
Thanks, Vicky.
Hello.
All right. Okay. I didn't turn it back to you.
Okay, your last last top five tech tool. And as you talk, like, I thought of so many more, so
now
I was like, darn. But you know, there's time for other shows. It's fine. Ready,
yep.
Set, go.
And my last top tech tool is GitHub. GitHub is an enabler of social coding. And this has been a huge radical shift in how we code here at IBM as Bluemix moves on to GitHub Enterprise and we change our workflow model. It becomes so easy for individual people to contribute to this one grand scheme of project and for everyone to stay in the loop of what's going on. And so my favorite feature of GitHub specifically is the pull request. And for those of you who are not familiar with GitHub and PRs, I'm sure many of you probably are, hopefully. But for you who are not, you can submit a PR, which is a code change or a change list, as the old times said it, against the current static build or current master branch or whatever branch you want. And then kind of a full discussion about the code that's being changed, why it's being changed, and the big things that you're containing this conversation about the code next to the code. And so as people go through and you make updates and changes, everyone can see what's going on, be in the loop, and then in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, if we go back and say, why did we do this and how did it work? Like, oh yeah, we had this great conversation here that documents everything we're doing, why we're doing it, and then when it was actually finally pushed. So this has been a really nice change. My workflow before I was here, we used something called a TFS, which is a different version control system, and it didn't have this great this conversation piece. And while I've used GitHub personally before and on projects before on smaller teams, this is the first time I've had it in such a large global team. And it's been really curious. We had a dev in Japan pop up one day and suddenly give us all these great feedback, Akira. And it's,
Oh man, cut off.
Akira's great.
Yeah. GitHub is definitely essential and, so happy that we started using it on our teams here.
Yep.
It's, yeah, like you said, pull requests are living conversations. It's a great way to review and talk about code. So I don't know how we do it any other way.
All right, Nina, your last one.
Last one. Are you ready?
2, 1, go.
So my last favorite tech tool is the Chrome DevTools, and it's huge. I cannot talk at all the Chrome DevTools options, so I'm going to talk specifically about the Style Panel. The Style Panel is something that I work with and use every day at work. There are so many great features, and I'm really impressed with how it's transformed and evolved in the past few months. Like, Chrome DevTools has really gotten a lot better. One of the new features I like is the color picker and color palettes feature. So if you click on any color in the panel, you have this new color picker, so you can change the color. You can change it from hex, HSLA, or RGBA. You can change the type. It's really convenient. And then below that, you have custom color palettes they can set. So you can save colors and just use them for different elements in your page. It also uses the page color, so it pulls out a color palette for you from your page. It's really powerful, just that color feature itself.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's awesome. The other thing I like to do is use some shortcuts from dealing with pixel values and just numeric values. If you hold shift and twirl up or down with your right top and bottom arrow keys, it goes up by 10. So if I have like a padding of like 1M and I hit shift and up, it goes up to 11M. If I just go up and down with the arrow keys, it goes up by 1. If I have a hold command and go up and down, or maybe it's option and go up and down, it goes up by points. So it'll be like 1.1, 1.2, etc. So that's pretty cool and pretty powerful. You can see live changes directly in your browser. It's great for pair designing and pair programming with your designers right there. So those are cool. There's also really great autocomplete properties. I recently noticed that they added in blend mode. So now if I type mix in the sidebar, adding a style to a class, I just hit tab, it shows me the whole, the rest of the property name and then a whole list of property values. So if I hit, I want to finish the thought.
that.
So this is new, which made me excited because this wasn't here last time I checked Chrome. But now it has all the blend modes. If you type mix blend mode tab or just even mix tab on the right hand side of that property block, you can see all the blend mode options: color, color burn, color dodge, dark and different, etc. So there's shortcuts right in your dev tools, and they're great to use. And I'm sorry I overstayed my visit.
One thing I want to jump in, because I also love dev tools so much, is that there's this great feature called local workspaces where you can map the changes you make in your browser to your original SAS files. And so as you kind of modify things in the browser and see how it looks, you don't have to go back to your files and do it over again. Just maps, just works. It takes a bit of finagling to set up properly. And I feel like I break it every day, but when it does work, it's so nice.
Yeah, and you can use source maps for SAS as
right,
well.
Yeah. So
it's been an episode.
That was quick. Felt quick.
I know that felt quick. I feel like I'm sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it's you know.
Okay.
Well, I hope you learned something. We're going to round up all the links to these tools and share them in the show notes. I guess we'll have like a Chris's tools, Yuna's tools, maybe we'll break them up.
Yeah.
But there's so many things out there. So thank you for sticking with us for 20 episodes.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
High five in that
jinx.
All right.
One more thing before I go. I have an announcement. If you've been following me on the internet or on Twitter or something, you probably already know this, but I am sad to say that I am moving on from IBM.
Right.
But happy to say that I'll be joining DigitalOcean. So I'm really excited about that. I'll be working remotely based in Austin still. So we are going to continue the show.
Yep.
It's just not going to be recorded in the studio anymore, and we'll work it out.
Yep.
But the news is that we will still be working together on Tools Day.
Yep.
Even though we aren't working together.
Right.
In the studio.
I'm sad.
People
all miss Yuna here.
I'm really excited for the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great having Yuna as a coworker. I think Yuna is great because she has a lot of new ideas that many other people don't have. I'm great at executing an idea, but I'm very bad at making new ideas up. So it was nice having Yuna here for that.
Oh my gosh, you're getting emotional. This was not planned. Chris.
We will still see Yuna around. That's our show.
Yeah. So okay. Thank you for doing 20 episodes. We'll keep it going. And I guess we'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.